lady named Anne Voskamp that wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts. Maybe some of you read it. It was a gift about being thankful. And the idea behind it is 1,000 reasons to be thankful. That's kind of the premise behind it. Many reasons that we can live a thankful life. And it would turn out to be a bestseller. It'd be on the bestseller list for several months. Many people read it. And as I was thinking about this, I wondered if someone was to write a book on 1,000 reasons to worry, if it would be a bestseller. What do you think? I have a hunch it might be a bestseller, because we worry about a lot of things, don't we? We worry about a lot of things. I wouldn't want to read the book, but it might be a bestseller. You know, we've had kind of what do we call it? A very interesting election this week in our country, and a lot of people are worried about that. Is it over? What's happened? What's going to happen? We worry about the COVID crisis. You know, what's going on? When is this going to end? We worry about our health. We worry about our kids. We worry about our grandkids. We worry about our money. We worry about our job. We worry about our school. Is it going to be open? Is it going to be closed? We worry about terrorists. We worry about nuclear war. We worry about the end of the world. And we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? I think we could come up with 1,000 reasons to worry. There was one man that was talking to his friend about his problems. He said, I have so many things that I could worry about. I have a mountain of credit card debt. I've lost my job. I've lost my car. I've lost my house. But I'm not worried about it at all. His friend asked, why not? He says, I have hired a professional worrier. He does all the worrying for me, and I don't have to think about it. The guy said, how much does he charge you? $50,000 a year. And he said, where are you going to get that kind of money? He says, I don't know. That's his worry. Be nice if we had professional worriers, huh? Sometimes we struggle with worry, and it appears that even people in Jesus' day struggled with worry. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where Jesus talks very clearly to us about this bad habit that we can form in our lives of worry. It's found in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 22, if you want to turn in your Bibles to that. Luke 12, verse 22. Stand as we read God's word. It says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you can worry and can add, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown tomorrow, is tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, but your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today, Father, that you'll speak to us from your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we can't deny that Jesus' words to us are very clear here. If you struggle with worry, you're going to think these are too clear. Because he just tells you straight out, don't do it. Do not worry. That's the words of Jesus. The word for worry actually means to be torn apart. Our English word for worry comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle. Worry will strangle the life right out of us if we allow it to happen. So we need to listen to the words of Jesus today. Do not worry. And I want to caution you, before we even get into this, don't give yourself an out. You know, it's easy to give yourself an out and say, oh, that's just the way I am. I see some people elbowing each other up front here. We'll have an altar call later. You can deal with that then. Anyway, don't give yourself an out. You know, if you have trouble with worry, you need to admit it and confess it and receive God's help here. And we'll talk about how you handle worry. But a lot of people just say, oh, that's the way I grew up. Make it a big deal. Listen to the words of Jesus. Do not worry. First thing, when we talk about do not worry, we need to understand that we're valuable to God. Jesus mentioned that God even takes care of the birds. He takes care of the birds. How much more valuable are you than birds? We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. We sang the song a little bit ago that you're a good, good Father. I love that song, and it's so true. We have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. Now, the birds, Jesus mentions the ravens, the birds. They have a Creator that cares for them, but they don't have a Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us incredibly. How much more valuable are we to Him than the birds? And He will take care of us. To really worry is to forget who you are. It's to forget that you are a loved child of God. The scripture in 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He cares for you. We need to remember that God who knows everything, who knows us better than we even know ourselves, that has all powerful, has all the resources of the world at His disposal, loves us. He cares for us. We need to remember that. We have a Heavenly Father who provides for us. I can imagine as Jesus was teaching, He saw the ravens there. Ravens are birds that, you know, big black birds, you've seen them. They're actually scavengers. They're considered to be kind of not very worthy kind of birds. But Jesus looks at them and points to His disciples, said, God takes care of them. How much more will He take care of you? We have a Heavenly Father who provides for us. So we're not supposed to worry. This isn't a passage of Scripture that's teaching us to be lazy. I think the Bible supports work and doing work and trying to take care of support yourself in that sense. It's not saying to be lazy. But even as we work, we realize God is a real provider. He's given us the ability to work, the opportunity to work. He's the real provider. So we need to stop worrying because it doesn't work. An amen there? Doesn't work. Worry is a wasteful use of time. Jesus says it pretty clearly, doesn't he? He says, who of you by worrying can add one single hour to his life? Since you can't do this little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Those are good questions from Jesus. It's a waste of time. One executive was arguing about this. He said, don't tell me worry doesn't do any good. I know better. The things I worry about never happen. Somehow we convince ourselves that worry is helpful, but it does not work. It accomplishes nothing. But worry is deceptive, isn't it? Because it kind of mentally convinces us that we are doing something when we worry. It does. But the reality is nothing is accomplished. Vance Havner says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. We can't solve any of our country's problems by worrying. We can't solve our own problems by worrying. We can't heal someone else or ourselves by worrying. We can't fix family members who might not be living the way they should live by worrying. We can't have our needs met by worrying. You go on and on. That worry doesn't work. Instead, worry will only provide us with pain. Heard a story of a hospital patient that was worried. He asked the doctor, he said, doctor, are you sure it's pneumonia? Because I've heard cases where a doctor treated a patient from pneumonia and he ended up dying of something else. And the doctor said, don't worry. When I treat a patient for pneumonia, he dies of pneumonia. We worry about a lot of things, don't we? But instead of worrying, which accomplishes nothing, we're actually hurting ourselves. Worry is like a poison to our minds and our emotions and our bodies. Dr. Charles Mayo from the Mayo Clinic says, worry affects the circulation, the heart, and the glands, and the whole nervous system. I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I've known a lot who have died of worry. A great percentage of our illnesses that we have in this country are in some way related to worry, anxiety, and stress. In fact, the number one killer in America is heart disease. 38% of all deaths are heart-related, and many of those are related to hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety. Worry has been linked to cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis, gastrointestinal illness, and many more. Doctors say that 3/4 of all visits to primary care physicians are stress-related complaints or disorders. Doesn't that tell you something? That maybe when Jesus says, do not worry, he's really trying to help us out? Don't worry. One person said, worry is a thin stream of fear that trickles through the mind, which if encouraged will cut a channel so wide that all other thoughts will be drained out. So worry is not good for us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. That's not good for us at all. But the good news is there's a solution to worry. There really is. We should choose to trust God. We should choose to trust God. Jesus, again, in this story, points to the flowers of the field, and so I imagine it's springtime in Israel when he's doing this, because in springtime in Israel, all the flowers grow up real quickly, and they are beautiful, and then in a few weeks, they're gone. And he says, you know, if God is going to take care of these flowers, how much more is he going to take care of you? He's calling them to trust. You see, we might not like this, but worry reveals a lack of faith in God. Worry reveals a lack of faith in God. Jesus has been talking about, through these whole teachings that he's been talking, as we've been studying Luke, about the condition of the heart. And so it is with worry. The source of worry is in our heart. It's not caused by circumstances. You might hear someone say, this and such happened, and now I'm worrying about it. And they blame the circumstance for their worry. It's not true. Circumstances or problems do not cause us to worry. They reveal what's in our heart. They reveal what's in our heart. And we don't like that, to think about it. Because we like to blame something for our worry. It's that fault. You know, the elections didn't turn out like I wanted. That's causing me to worry. No, that's not the cause. It's our heart. We need to trust God deep down in our heart. It's why you can see two people that encounter similar kind of challenges, but they deal with it so differently. One person trusts God with it and has peace. The other person is just given into worry and they're just a mess. So it isn't the situation that caused worry, it's our heart that caused the worry. So if you worry a lot, again, you might not like to hear this. You really need to check your faith. Do some work on checking out your faith. Do you really trust God? Deep down, do you really trust him? Corrie Ten Boom, who was a great lady, spent time in the concentration camps in Germany. You know her story, I think. Said this. She says, when I worry, I go to the mirror and say to myself, this tremendous thing which worries me is beyond solution, especially too hard for Jesus Christ to handle. And after I said so, I smile and am ashamed. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to us must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So here's our option. When we're tempted to worry, we seek God. We come to him. E. Stanley Jones, another great man of God, I like what he writes about this. He says, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are like sand in the machinery of life. But faith is oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. This is not my native air, but in faith and confidence I breathe freely. This is my native air. I like that quote. You see, worry and faith cannot coexist in the human heart. We must choose. When you're faced with something that you're tempted to worry about, we must choose to trust God with that situation. One of the ways we trust Him is through prayer. We trust Him through prayer. When we pray, it's an act of faith. When we pray, it's an act of faith. The scripture we just read, we believe God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. There's a scripture in Philippians that I've always liked. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There's our option, folks. There's our way out. You don't have to worry. Do not be anxious, but pray. Trust God with what you're thinking about. Trust Him. We pray. So when we're faced with a challenge, we have that kind of choice. Either we will ignore this promise of God that He'll help us, that we can come to Him, and we'll try to handle it on our own and we'll worry, or we'll come to Him and trust Him with what's on our heart. When we do that, the rest of the verse says, and in Philippians, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Your situation might not change. You still might have a challenge. You still might have a problem, but you have God's peace. You have this amazing peace of God surrounding you and protecting you instead of having worry consuming you and making you sick. You have the peace of God because you're trusting Him. We also trust God by accepting His promises. It's interesting, people have researched in the Bible, how many promises are there? One person came up with 7,487. Then I saw another person that came up with 8,810. I don't know who's right, but that's a lot of promises in God's Word, right? And they're for us. They're for you. They're God's promises. We need to believe them. We need to believe them. Read God's Word and believe it. What God says is true. Pastor Jim Cimbala said, faith is like the hand that reaches up to receive what God has freely promised. But if the devil can pull your hand down to your side, then he's succeeded. All of God's intended supply will just stay there in heaven. We need to claim these promises of God that He has for us. We also, dealing with worry, need to know that God knows what we need. Jesus said, the pagan world runs after such things, but your Father knows that you need them. Pagan world's just referring to people that don't know, trust in God. They run after these things, but you need to know your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. You see, our needs will drive us to focus on getting our needs met. We'll focus on that. Now, that might not sound like a bad thing, but we need to understand that's doing it on our own strength, not trusting in God. Jesus is talking about to His disciples who are basically are worried about the basics, food and clothing is what He's talking about. When you're faced with a need, it's the temptation is just to go and get it. And it's like the picture that comes to my mind is picture God in His hands. He's got everything we need, and He's waiting for us to come get Him. And we run by Him to go get our needs. We're going to go get our needs. And God says, hey, wait, I have Him here for you. And we run. We ignore Him. We go searching after to meet our needs, and we forget God when He's there. So instead, our heart can lead us to focus on God who provides. Do you see the difference there? Instead of focusing on what we need, we focus on God who provides. Instead of focusing on the blessings, we focus on the blesser. We run to our Heavenly Father. So whenever we are faced with a problem or a need or a challenge, we have that choice to make. Will we run to God and trust him? Or will we bypass him and go do it on our own? We have a choice. It's a choice of whether we're focusing on this world or the next world. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we focus on God, not on what we see here on earth and the dire situation. We focus on God who is eternal. He's the provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Jesus go on in this section to talk about that we need to choose to put God first in our lives. This famous verse that you hear a lot about, to seek his kingdom. He says, but seek his kingdom. The Matthew's version says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added onto you as well. So we make our priority the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to make the priority, your priority, the kingdom of God? It means your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. It's the most important relationship in your life. There's nothing more important than that relationship with Jesus Christ. You seek his kingdom. We don't put our needs first. We put God first. We don't focus first on what we need. We focus on God first, his kingdom. He's our priority. He's our focus. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, remember when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it started with, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Then talks about our needs. We put God first. We make his priority, his kingdom, the priority of our lives. And then we experience the provision of God. Jesus said, seek the kingdom, his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Like, seek God first, you're going to get the other stuff, but seek him first, and he'll provide. If we focus on our own kingdom, on just getting our own needs met with taking God out of it, we're kind of focusing on our own kingdom, aren't we? And we want God to bless our kingdom. Oh, God, please bless my kingdom. God says, focus on the kingdom first, and then your needs will be taken care of. It's a pattern of Scripture. You see it all over the Bible. If you trust God, put him first in your life and obey him, you'll be blessed. I mean, we see it all through the Old Testament, and it's in the New Testament as well. You experience this wonderful blessing and provision of God when you seek first his kingdom. God desires to bless us, to meet our needs, but if we're seeking our own kingdom, just what we want, ignoring God, do you think he's going to bless that? But if you seek his kingdom, he says, I'll provide. The scripture says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, does this mean that if I put God first in my life, everything that I want is going to turn out just exactly the way I want it? No, doesn't mean that. He's talking about your needs will be provided for. And let me just assure you, God knows what you need better than you know what you need. We might think we know what we need. We don't. Exactly. God does. And so some things that we pray for and want are not what we need, and God's not going to give them. He knows it's not what we need. He knows what we need. We can trust him. We experience this amazing provision of God. We also experience freedom from fear. Jesus told his disciples, do not be afraid. You see, fear fuels worry. And there's been a lot of fear thrown around lately in our world, not only with the elections and all the campaigning that was going on before, but with the COVID crisis. There's just so much fear going on in the world, which can be fuel for worry. It's like throwing gasoline on the fire. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear, someone said. But as we put God first in our lives, we can live a life free from fear. You see, we remember that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us. He does. We remember that when we're tempted to worry, we can go to him in prayer and trust him. We realize that we're not alone, that he is with us. We can experience freedom from fear. The challenge might still be there, but we're not experiencing this fear. Instead, we have peace from God. Jesus closes out this part of his sermon here about talking about making eternal investments. We can choose to invest in eternal investments. And I wondered why he was talking about this right here in the area of worry. And I think we can figure that out. We see that we should give to help those in need. It's fascinating that the people that Jesus is talking about here are probably poor people. The disciples certainly didn't have much money. In fact, they've left their jobs to follow him. They have no income at all. And yet he tells them, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. And when I first read it, I thought, what? You're telling them not to worry about what they have, and they don't have much, and now you're telling them, sell what you have and give it away. Giving to others helps us conquer worry. Because worry is most often very selfish in nature. It's about us and what's going on with us. And we think about others, and we give to others, show concern for others through giving to them, someone that's maybe less fortunate than us. It lets some of the air out of the tires of worry by helping someone else. Now, just so we understand, the scripture doesn't mean that we're to sell everything you have and give it all away. That's not what he's saying. It's okay to have things. We just have to keep a loose grip on them. Realize none of it, it's all God's. And realize that if he asks us to give it away, we give it away. It's his. We have a loose grip on it. We'll give it if he asks us to give it away. We're ready to share with others. That's an eternal investment. We should also give to support God's work. Jesus said, provide for yourself treasure in heaven. You know the only way that you provide treasure for yourself in heaven? By sending it ahead. It's the only way. Whenever we go on a church on a work and witness trip to different parts of the world, we always collect money to support us while we're there, you know, for the project and for food and housing and transportation, everything. And we always send it ahead to the mission field ahead of time. It's there waiting for us when we get there. We send. So it is with this kingdom, investing in heavenly treasure, we send it ahead by giving to the work of God here on earth. Everything that you spend for yourself while you're on earth, which you need to spend money for yourself to take care of yourself, but it's just an earthly investment. It stays here. It's not a heavenly investment. But anything you give to the work of the Lord is an eternal investment, paying eternal dividends. So when you give to the church in offering, you give to other Christian ministries in blessing them and helping them, it's an eternal investment. You are sending it ahead. And that also helps us in this area of worry because we're giving to something that's eternal. Last point, where we give will reveal our heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you examine your, I know people probably don't keep records anymore. It used to be we had checkbooks and you'd keep track. You know, people just look on their phones now to see how much money they got left. But if you were to examine your money and where it all went, you could probably tell where your heart is. Where's all your money go? He said, where your treasure is, there will be your heart. If you look through your finances and see that you do give money to the Lord's work, you realize, oh, that reveals my heart is in the work of the Lord. So our treasure reveals where our heart is. So in closing today, this is one of those very practical sermons, I think. We just need to listen to the words of Jesus and not worry. Instead, we need to trust him completely. We can't wait for a calmer period of history to apply this, it has to apply right now. We can't wait for things to be going smooth in our life or things to be going better for us to trust God and not worry. We need to do it right now. Amen? We've got to apply it. It works right now in the life of situation that we're in right now. Don't worry. Instead, trust Him. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that promise. We're going to close in a